The destruction of the temple brought an end to the age of sacrifice for Jews in AD 70, but for Christians, the age of the temple, like the age of the law and the land, has already come to an end with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And yet, despite the fact that Jesus forever dispensed with the need for temple, priest, and sacrifice some 2,000 years ago, Christian Zionists are bent on stoking the embers of Armageddon by scheming the destruction of yet another great Christian doctrine, and doing it by scheming the construction of another temple on the very spot where the Dome of the Rock now stands. Tim LaHaye, who, of course, is the author or co-author of the best-selling Left Behind series, goes so far as to call Mount Moriah, site of the ancient Jewish temple, the most coveted ground in the entire world. As he puts it, the deep significance of the 1967 Six-Day War is seen in the prospect that, at long last, Israel can finally rebuild its temple. And that, according to LaHaye, is not just a national yearning, it is a prophetic requirement of the Word of God. LaHaye goes on to highlight the major obstacle. In his words, this obstacle is the fact that the Muslims' multi-million-dollar Dome of the Rock is located on the spot where the temple should be. He indeed makes light of fellow dispensationalists who suggest that the Jewish temple could coexist with the Muslim mosque. He says some have tried to suggest that perhaps this location is not the only place in Jerusalem that the temple could be built, and thus the Muslim mosque and the Jewish temple could coexist. But, says LaHaye, no careful Bible student would accept that kind of reasoning. There is no substitute on the face of the earth for that particular spot. Says LaHaye, there is no other single factor so likely to unite the Arabs in starting a holy war as the destruction of the Dome of the Rock. Well, in light of the Incarnation, this Zionist suggestion that the modern land of Palestine, along with its capital Jerusalem, is to be reserved exclusively for a single ethnicity, or that the temple must be rebuilt and its sacrificial system reinstituted, borders on blasphemy. While the modern state of Israel does have a definitive, in my point of view, a definitive right to exist, to suggest that native Palestinians, many, by the way, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, should be forcibly removed from the land is not only unbiblical, but it's unethical. By standing on the steps of the Capitol and protesting a two-state solution in the Middle East, Christian Zionists are creating an actual roadblock on the pathway to peace. Just as it's a grievous sin to turn a blind eye to the evil of anti-Semitism, so it is a grievous sin to turn a blind eye to a theology that divides people on the basis of race rather than uniting them on the basis of righteousness and justice and equity. As we highlight in our brand new novel, Fuse of Armageddon, to presumptively appeal to the words of Moses, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, which we hear over and over again from evangelical pastors and parishioners, and then use it as a pretext for unconditionally supporting a secular state that prohibits the advance of the gospel while simultaneously disregarding the plight of the Palestinians, is to promote a theology that's not only decidedly unbiblical, but demonstrably dangerous.